Muted.
Muted. Ari Silverman.
You need to mute it. We're not going to finish this section, but it's the same Bereshit, section 4, and the earth was without form. The famous verse, it's the second verse in the Torah, the earth was without form, was tohu vabohu. And it means without form and void. And what is the difference between form and void? This is verse number 17. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkin tevivki l'urchi v'vudchi v'vudchakta shem yotke v'vavke v'yehuda shalim v'shem kol yisrael limud Torah v'haret ha'eta tohu v'avohu v'gomer ha'eta da'eke mikadma Dina talga goy maya ya yo. Nafka mina zuhama behahu chela. De talga be maya yo. Beakesh ba esha. Takifa vechawa fa besolet. Ve'ita diat, ve'ita vidat, tohu. Umeatar dezuhama, kina bisolet. Wavohu, beriru, deit berer migoi. Besolet, ve'it yashav, ba, hoshech raza. Shatakiva Wehahu Hoshech Kafeag Hahu Tohu Algibe Hahu Besolet Beita Kanat Minea. And earth was without form and void. The term was is exact in that it implies the earth's previous state, during which snow was mixed inside water. The act of the snow forming inside the water resulted in a foul substance, and afterward a mighty fire beat upon it, and refuse was formed inside it. It then conceived and became without form. The place where at first there was only filth has become now a nest of refuse that is described as tohu, without form. It went through four stages until it became tohu. Light turned into water. That was step one. Phase two, water turned into snow. Phase three, snow turned into refuse with the infliction of the fire. And four, the refuse, over time, became sufficiently distinguishable to be called tohu. Meaning form. The words and void refer to the refined matter that emerged from the refuse and was set there. Darkness is the secret of the powerful fire, and this darkness hovers above the tohu, over that refuse, and is based upon it. In other words, darkness does not mean only the absence of light, that is emptiness, but rather the aspect that produces emptiness, like a strong fire that burns and consumes everything. It touches and leaves emptiness in its place. The reason why it is called darkness and not fire is that the burning force is not from the fire itself, but from the refuse over which it hovers. Therefore, this darkness is based upon the tohu from which it receives, from the form and from which it receives. questions.
Like a black hole.
That's what I thought. And I can think of my frame of reference. Are you asking if you're right or wrong?
I mean, that's the image that I got.
It's a good image. It's a bad image. It's not a complete image.
All right.
What is form? What is void? Your body is a form. Your soul fulfills that form.
Okay.
A form that is void.
It's like the body with no soul.
Correct. Tohu is form. This is the first step, first stage. The metaphor being used here is water. Water has form, but it's formless. It takes the form of any shape, in whatever container it's in. So a world of tohu is formless, without form. Now, it's void, meaning not that it's empty. Empty is something different than void.
Right.
The language of Kabbalah, the Hebrew language, is like a scientific formula. Everything is meaningful, and there's no synonyms.
Right.
So if you say a word, in English, we say soul. In Hebrew, there's five words for soul. It shows you the difference in the consciousness of the language. Why do you need five words for soul? Who cares?
But one explains exactly.
But one is very specific as to which level of consciousness you're dealing with and talking about. Each culture, Eskimos have all those words for snow. I've heard it to 500 and I've heard it's 30, but it's a lot of words for snow and ice. And here, can you imagine snow in the midst of ice? I mean, it's in the midst of water. That's a slushy, right? Okay, we have it in our world. And here it was saying that that's not a good thing. What is snow? It's a soft form of judgment. Water is loving kindness. Snow is a soft judgment, a limitation on that loving kindness. Ice is harsh judgment, a different limitation on that loving kindness. The language is specific. It's a mathematical formula. Question?
No, I don't always believe that creation is mathematical, but if that was me just saying it, it's a big bomb out there.
Right.
The equation doesn't change much.
That's right.
One of my Kabbalah teachers, he talks about energy healing. He is very sure that there are energy healing and it works.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of energy healers are charlatans. And what's his reason for making that statement? Do they heal everyone they touch? If it's healing, if it's energy, will heal.
Right.
There should be no errors. There should be nobody not healed. And he is observed where, through his visions, his capability, he saw the energy healers he considers true healers, go in and remove something from within the body of the sick person. Always removed it. The person always got well. This is not a charlatan. This is a true energy. But they don't know why they do it. They don't know. They know how to do it, but they can't really explain it and teach it. It's something. It's a gift. It's something that. But it's a capability of every human being. It needs to be reproducible and duplicatable. But it's only through the Kabbalah that each person can find those gifts and bring them into their life based on their desire. What is it they want to do? As I was reading this, I wanted to, because this is such a powerful image of the light turns into water. Water is a sharing entity, sharing consciousness. How do we know that? Because it goes to the lowest denomination. It expands to whatever it can reach. It'll get thinner and thinner and thinner. So the capacity, you know, like a pool of water on the floor, will spread out until the surface energy of the surface tension of the water won't let it expand anymore. Water turns into snow. Snow is cold. The water can be different temperatures. Snow turns into refuse with the infliction of the fire.
So you have the self-judgment, and
it becomes harsh judgment. And by its snow, the soft judgment and the harsh judgment comes into effect. But why is it called refuse? What's the meaning of refuse? Is that garbage?
Like the dross.
Like the dross. What is dross? Dross is something you don't want.
Dross is, I mean, because I have been a
metallurgist.
The dross is
the impurities.
The impurities that are left after you refine the metal.
But the impurities are valuable in and of themselves.
Yes, but they're not about what you're making.
Refuse is what you don't want.
Right. It's like you don't want the wildflowers growing in your manicured garden.
Snow turns into refuse. Nobody wanted it. There was no use for
the snow.
Why? Because there was nobody to use it, nobody to perceive it. There was no consciousness. It was developing the consciousness. And then over time, the refuse became sufficiently distinguishable to be called Tohu. How does it become distinguishable?
We're able to perceive it.
But in the world of Tohu, what was to be perceived? Who was to be perceiving it? Right there you have the whole future scientific physics models of consciousness.
Let's go back over this again, because it needs to sink into me.
It won't tonight.
No, it might, in the morning.
Okay. There's a whole class called The Four Phases by Rabbi Aschbach, who is the one who wrote that commentary. The Four Phases is the process of creation. There is no other way to create. It takes four steps. The four steps are knock, knock, who's there? The light. I want to come in and share with you. If you want to come in and share with me, fine, come on in. Is there any desire in that statement?
Just agree.
Agreement. Phase one, light and vessel in unity, in agreement. Phase two, the nature of the life is to share. What happens when you put hot coffee in a cup? The cup gets warm. Why? Because it takes on the nature of the coffee. 2. The same vessel, phase 1, has now found a, not a desire, but a consciousness I want to share. Phase 3, same vessel, is saying, I want to share, so share with me. Phase 2 creates, co-creates vessels to share, to receive what it has to share. But what's the difference between phase 1 and phase 3? Phase 3 is not the full sharing.
Right.
Because a vessel isn't the creator. A vessel can only share what it receives. Therefore, the vessels that were created by the vessel are going to be incomplete. That's considered darkness. There was darkness upon the deep, hovering over the deep. Phase 4, the same vessel. Wait a second. Phase 1 was really nice. I got everything I wanted. Phase 1 was comfortable. Phase 1 is where I want to be. I don't want this anymore. Give it back. I want what I had. That's phase 4. That's our world. Creating, recognizing the true desires. I want, I crave, passionately. You cannot create desire, you cannot have desire without going through those 4 steps in every aspect of our life, from regaining all the wealth that we gained and losing all the wealth that we lost, all through this process of 4 phases. Unfortunately, we don't realize it. We're not taught it as children. We don't see what goes on. And even when you're taught as children, you're only seeing parts of it. So, you know, the universe is going to give you those tests the same way everybody else has. But it's going to be a different test for someone who's knowledgeable. But ultimately, it's the same issue. Change yourself. Learn what you want. Learn what you crave. And then move to seek it in a balanced way.
You'd make a Baptist preacher.
I'm sorry?
You'd make a good Baptist preacher.
I'm not preaching.
Well, I don't mean that. What I mean is you.
I understand. You know what a Baptist preacher is?
He's loud.
He's loud and he's passionate.
Right.
Or he pretends to be passionate. That's why I'm not a Baptist preacher, because I'm not pretending to be passionate. I'm passionate about what I've learned here. I'm passionate about the Creator's wisdom. And I want it. I want all of it, not part of it. And I don't want it for today and lose it tomorrow.
Forever.
I want it forever. That's, and people don't understand that. Truly, people do not understand that.
Yeah. I had always felt that somewhere along the line, I'm really Christian. Mm-hmm. But they lose the connection because they forget about Moses.
Correct. They forget about, because the reason they forget about Moshe, the letters of Moshe, rearrange them, they spell legit. Of the 72 names, Mem, He, Shin, the name for healing. Rearrange it another way. It spells
Hashem,
the name of God. That's why they forget about it. It's so intense. It's so powerful. They don't know what to do. Their vessel isn't ready to handle it. They have to forget about it. They have to be in that third stage of darkness. Because they will find it eventually. The deepest secret in Kabbalah in Torah is that there is no difference between a child of Israel and a child of the other nations, except the where they are in the process of correcting themselves. You've heard of Bilam in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, Bilam and Moshe.
Right.
Moshe is a prophet for Israel. Bilam is the prophet, the greatest prophet who ever lived for the 70 nations. They're on exactly the same level. They're the same soul. Parts of their soul have been corrected. They're in within Moshe, which means the children of Israel, the 600,000. The parts that are not yet as corrected, they may be partially corrected, but they haven't gotten to that further down their process. They're in, still in the soul of Bilam. Everyone, every aspect started in the world of Tohu. That's the soul within the water. It's all there. Any questions? Because it's that one verse we could go on for 20 days minimum. And that's why we come and reread this. And that's why it's lifetime learning. Lifetimes of learning.
This is the Zohar thing.
This is the Zohar. This is the Zohar. When I read the Hebrew, it's an Aramaic. When you read the English, which is a translation, so it's lowered, you'll see two different types of print. One is a translation of the Aramaic itself, and the other is Rabbi Ashlag's commentary as he did the translation. And so as you read it, it flows in sync, like they're unified, and they are, but you need to know which is one, which is the other.
So Rabbi Ashlag translated it?
He translated it into Hebrew in between 1933 and 1955.
So until that point, it was
It was always in Aramaic. It had never been completely translated. There were portions of it that had been translated. But the translation, you have to understand, the translation is a corruption. Because the original has so many different facets and levels of comprehension. There's always a deeper level. There's always more to learn. There's always another way of viewing the same situation. And it's only, I'll use the term for lack of a better one, there's only God who's capable of understanding and absorbing all of those.
Once.
But a human being is capable of doing many. And maybe not all of them, but many of them. The question is, how many of us want to do all of them? Verse 18. Ruach Elohim, Ruach Hucha Denafik, Me Elohim Chaim, Veda Vatachefet. Excuse me. Al Bene Chamaim, Batar Dehai, Ruach Neshev, Nashev. Ivrir dekiku, chad migoy hahu besolet, ketisa duzuchama, chad ivrir beatznef beatzref, zimna utrein adishtar, Ahu zuhama delet beya zuhama kilal. And the wind, also meaning the word ruach is translated two ways. One way it's translated as wind, and the other way it's translated as spirit. And the wind of Elohim, or the spirit of Elohim, alludes to the Holy Spirit, ruach, that proceeded from living Elohim and moved over the surface of the waters. This means that after this wind blew, a thin layer from the refuse was refined, just as the filth flies off and away. In this manner, it was refined, covered, and purified over and over again, until the foulness was left without any filth. Clear?
Not totally.
Can you frame a question about it?
Well, until the foulness with all that was left. Well, that means
no,
to me, okay,
it's
I have
the foulness that was taken away. Good and evil are mixed, correct?
Right.
Do we separate the good from the evil, or do we separate the evil from the good? Mm-hmm. And is there a difference?
There's a difference all over the world, and when you look at it, that's
exactly
how the court system is built. That's how you judge.
Elohim, the wind, blew over the waters, over the Tohu, and from that blowing, some refuse was drawn away from the goods. Now, was it bad? Was it horrible refuse? Was it bad? Was it useless? No. It just wasn't needed for this process, for this purpose. What is that purpose? It's the creation of our physical world, of our universe. That means that there's the refuse is in other dimensions, other universes, something we just don't consider. It's not part of our, what we're needing to do as part of our growth right now. But it happened. It's just when the wind didn't blow once and cleaned everything up.
The wind continued to blow
time and again, just like we will refine steel or we will refine silver. We'll burn it, we'll boil it. And the impurities rise to the surface, we scoop it off, and then we let it cool. And then the next day we fire it up again and there's more impurities. We take it to the same temperature, so why are there more impurities? But that's the way it is. Eventually, there's no impurities left. So what was not useful, which is the definition of bad, not really the definition of bad, but it's easy for this discussion.
Not useful for now, not useful for us right here.
Correct. So that's what took place, and now, so what is left? It was purified over and over again until the foulness was left without any filth. Foulness doesn't sound like it's a good thing, does it? And that's the point. It's foulness because it's not light. Foulness is a desire to receive. Light is sharing. But there's something else besides foulness. There's a desire to receive for oneself alone. That's the filth. Using metaphors from Kabbalah. And it's not as simple as that, but that's essentially what is being said here. So what is left is a desire to receive called foulness. And that's the difference between reading this by yourself and reading it with a teacher who helps you move to that place by redefining the terms. The main issue in Kabbalah is to find your terms. Because it is that, like a scientific formula. You have to know what X is, you have to know what Y is, otherwise you can't comprehend what the formula is saying.
think I need a notebook.
Actually, you'll even with a notebook, it's easier with a notebook.
But you learn. I suppose.
Yes.
You know the
terms. E equals mc squared is a code. We call it a formula, but it's a code. Do you know what E is? No, it's Edward.
Right.
Okay. It's either heaven. It's evening.
It's everything.
It could be anything that starts in English with an E. What's M
now?
Exactly. You know, and so you refined it down to energy. What have you done with all these other other things? They're still good. Edward, Evan, evening. These are all good things.
It's not useful
for this discussion of energy and mass relationships. That's actually a good metaphor. Thank you.
I saw it with about 4 pages of formula that he was working. I said, you're looking at this like you're reading it. I said, yeah.
Okay.
And I said, could you put it into words? And he said, sort of does, but he couldn't do it.
But until, if he truly understood it at its deepest level, he would be able to.
Yeah.
It would really depend on his thoughts if you put it in.
Try.
If he found it.
Verse 19, and this will be the last verse. I told you we wouldn't finish the section, but it's just. Kad ha'etohu divrer v'atzreif. Nafak mineya ruach gedola v'chazak mefarek harim sheber stilaim ahu dechama Eliyahu divrer v'chol v'yatsre v'nafak mineya. Rash tikil we alchar charuach rash beivre choshef beachlel beraza dileya esh tikil we alchar charash esh beivre ruach beitkalel beraza. Dileya kol demama daka. When this tohu was refined and purified, a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke the rocks. Then it emerged like the wind that Eliyahu saw. The bohu was refined and purified, and noise came from it, as it is written, and after the wind and earthquake, also noise. The Hebrew word for earthquake can be an earthquake or it can be noise. When the darkness was refined, fire was then included in its secret, as it is written. And after the earthquake, a fire. The wind was refined, and a still, small voice was included within it. Welcome. Any questions?
And God was in the voice.
God's in you, one clips. What is that? What is a still small voice?
We call it conscience.
No, we call it intuition.
Is there a difference?
I'm sorry? It's not someone, it's you.
Oh, okay.
You're speaking to yourself. Where's your intuition come from? It comes from your higher self, for lack of a better term, right now. You don't have the vocabulary yet to tell you where it comes from, but it comes from your higher self. It comes from within you. comes from the connection to the spiritual level, that you do not have a sense to understand except to hear. So, what do you do with your intuition? Most people just let it. Sometimes they hear it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they follow it, and sometimes it's lying to them. So what is the real issue? Do you ever ask your intuition what to do?
My intuition is always, what did Mama say? Because I remember what Mama always said, because
okay.
Mama would dominate.
I understand.
And you would behave. You didn't even have to.
But it is behaving what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Okay. You don't think behaving is what you're supposed to do?
Behaving has many, it's not just.
Ask him what it means.
What do you mean?
It means Mama would hurt me if I didn't.
So, but what is behaving? Define behavior.
A certain way.
Okay, but who defines that certain way?
You.
No, the society does. Mama does.
Mama.
Your intuition is what is your connection to what is right. A goal, one of the goals of being human, is to become a righteous person. What does that mean? What does it mean to be righteous?
I can't think of an English word to describe it other than obedient to the word and considerate.
Okay. I thank you for your religious background. And it's perfect. Nothing wrong with that. But it's simpler. Kabbalah is always simple. It's never easy, but it is always simple. To be righteous means to do the right thing. But how do you know what the right thing is? I mentioned Sunday, my friend, who was truly a very sharing guy. Loved everybody. Everybody loved him. Easiest touch in the world. Every employee who needed a loan got the money, even when he didn't have the money for payroll.
Yeah.
He'd be hiring more than he could afford. Constant. Why? Because he came into this world to learn to say no. For him, what was right was saying no. How do you know what is the right thing to do? You listen to your intuition. But in the Western world, we cover and veil and conceal that intuition. We cannot hear. Why is it called a still, small voice? It's still and it's small. It's very quiet. You have to hear. You have to work to hear it.
Yeah.
Why does it lie to you sometimes? What did you do today? Were you harmful to somebody else? Were you hurtful? Were you more inclined with yourself than sharing? Then you have created a condition where it needs to lie to you, because that's the effect of not treating people well.
So first, one should do no harm.
I don't know.
And secondly, one should do good when it's possible.
I don't know if that even that's true. Because there's no set rules. The world is tohu. It's without form.
Okay.
Okay? You're saying every time I should do no harm. Except if you're a surgeon, can you do no harm? You have to inflict pain. Oh, I'm inflicting pain for the greater good. I can take out the cancer.
Other people call. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't have the vision of nations or anything else. it's all based upon hell no.
It's based upon cultures. It's based upon general agreements. It's based upon the connection and the affinity of the souls together. So there's no way to say right. A, B, C, D.
Because it's never
100%. And yet, the paradox is it's mechanistic. If you are seeing the 10 dimensions, it's mechanistic. It's following formulas. They're based on Hebrew letters, but they're literally formulas. And that's the way the world functions, the way the world works. We in the Western world, the way I was taught until I learned this, is cause is physical. Jerusalem is the holy city. Why? Because the holy temple was built in Jerusalem. Could it have been built in Timbuktu? Would that be the holy city?
But it isn't that it was physical, because it was a spiritual.
There is a spiritual energy called holiness.
Exactly.
That's a spiritual item. What is the cause of the temple being built in Jerusalem? The fact that Jerusalem is a holy place. Why is it holy? Because the spiritual cause of Jerusalem, the physical place, is holy. Spiritual is the cause. Physical is the effect. So now give me all 10 dimensions on any given situation, and I can tell you what the mechanistic answer is. And I can tell you, yes, first do no harm, in this case with these 10 dimensional conditions. But we don't have the ability to sense more than 4 dimensions.
Right. That's just what I was thinking, is that I can run that through about 4. Maybe I can push hard for 5, but 4. Yeah.
We have five senses. And we talk about the third eye is the psychic abilities. But how many psychic senses are there? I'm not talking about abilities.
No, lots.
So, as a human being, I should be able to develop the ability to sense all of those senses. But if my thinking is it's third eye, there's only one sense there. There's only one thing. That's all I'm going to look for.
Got it.
Break out of the limitations you create for yourself. But how is this practical? How can you use what we taught today in your life? That I'll leave you to think about that overnight. And maybe we'll answer it tomorrow. We probably won't. You can hang up your phone now.
There's been lots of...
Good night, everybody. Okay.